Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org. If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Liberty and Constitution Community here on ConservativeNationMedia.com on this Thursday evening, June the 5th, the eve of the anniversary of D-Day, when our troops stormed the beach at Normandy and kicked the ever-living guts out of the Huns and made those bastards die for their country. Because no bastard ever won a war dying for his country. Isn't that something like a paraphrase Patton? Real quick before we get started. As we do every week, well, first of all, I want to welcome everybody back. You know, it's been a week since we, actually it's been 2 weeks since we talked because I was not able to make it on the air last week. I do apologize for that. I was experiencing some technical difficulties here in the homestead. I had no phone line, if you must know. So there's probably a whole gaggle of stuff that I wanted to get to last week that I probably have already forgotten about this week. So we're probably going to gloss over all that and just focus on some of the new stuff. And I'll probably tell you a little bit about some local flavor because I've been sitting in on a court case here locally, a politically charged kind of case. Today was supposed to be day five. Of testimony, but the key witness, the accuser in the case, was rushed to the emergency room, so there was no testimony given today, but we'll touch on that a little bit later. As we do every week, I'm going to give you a quote from one of our founders. This one is actually a written quote from Richard Henry Lee, written in 1776 in a resolution to Congress. Richard Henry rewrote the following. Be it resolved that these colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved of all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, that it is expedient forthwith to take the most effectual measures for forming foreign alliances, that a plan of confederation to be prepared and transmitted to the respective colonies for their consideration and approbation. So that was setting up that was a resolution passed in Congress calling for the declaration or bolstering the Declaration of Independence, which led to this great, on this once great country that we live in, this potentially great again country that we live in. Where are we going to start off this week? Things run the gamut. There's a lot of, as usual, there's gun stuff in the news. As usual, there's court stuff in the news. As usual, there's military stuff in the news. You got the whole 5-for-1 deal that our commander-in-chief pulled off, illegal as it was, not running it by Congress. Of course, he doubled down on it today, saying that he has no regrets. And so basically, we traded 5 terrorists for 1 traitor in Bo, the deserter. So there's that to talk about. Well, there's the NRA shafting us again. What else is new? And again, there's this local case that I'll probably spend a little bit of time on that. Unless there's something on your mind you want to give a call. I'll give you real quick. I'm probably going to screw this up a couple times tonight. But we are in a different studio than we used to be on ConservativeNationMedia.com. There are 2 studios. There's Studio A and Studio B. Give you a little bit of inside baseball. and I have been broadcasting in Studio B since my show started back in, I don't know, what was it, September, October of last year, 2013. So every week I've been telling you, hey, call in at 646-200-3980. Well, don't call that number. The number to call is 718-305-7176. So if you want to call in, you're more than welcome. 718-305-7176. Again, 718-305-7176. 718-305-7176. I'll get that memorized eventually, but I'll probably be reading it for the majority of this show and maybe even the next show, but you're still welcome to call. Again, 718-305-7176. So, what do you want to talk about? Let's talk about D-Day real quick. Let me give you 10 things that you didn't know, 10 little-known facts about D-Day. Well, let's look at it. Number one, Lieutenant James Doohan of the Winnipeg Rifles was shot in the hand and chest on D-Day. A silver cigarette case stopped the bullet to the chest, but the shot to his hand caused him to lose a finger. A silver cigarette case, and they said cigarettes kill. Doohan later became known to generations of TV viewers as the actor who played Scotty in Star Trek. While on camera, he always tried to hide his injured hand. Number two, celebrated war photographer Robert Capa was in the second wave of troops to land at Omaha Beach. His pictures of the event are known as the Magnificent 11, a title that reflects their number. Despite taking two reels of film, totaling 106 pictures, only 11 survived after 16-year-old darkroom assistant Dennis Banks dried them at too high a temperature. The Magnificent 11. Number three, Juan Pujol was a double agent working for MI5 who helped convince the Germans that D-Day wouldn't be in June. Bizarrely, his first code was named Bovril, but that was soon changed to Garbo, as Steve was such a good actor. Garbo fooled the Germans so completely, Hitler awarded him the Iron Cross, and he was living in Hendon at the time. Pujol asked if they could post it to him. On the morning of D-Day, J.D. Salinger landed on Omaha Beach with 6 chapters of his unfinished novel, Catcher in the Rye, in his backpack. In the afternoon, Evelyn Wall, recuperating in Devon after injuring his leg in paratrooper training, finished the final chapter of his novel, Birds, Brideshead Revisited. That's kind of interesting. The giant wall map used by General Eisenhower and General Montgomery at their headquarters, Southwick House, was made by a toy maker, Chad Valley. Number six, Lord Lovett led the British 1st Sarge Special Service Brigade, an inspiring but eccentric figure. He landed on Sword Beach wearing hunting robes and carrying a wading stick used for salmon fishing, which is quite interesting. Number seven, on the morning of D-Day, the House of Commons debated whether office cleaners should be no longer called Star Ladies. The number eight news of D-Day reached POW Camp Colwitz via an illegal radio hidden in an attic. To avoid detection, the POWs used shoes with no tread, left no marking as dust. On hearing the news, POW Senek Chalupka vowed that if the war isn't over by December, he'd run around the courtyard naked. On Christmas Eve 1994, Chalupka ran around it twice. It was minus 7 degrees Celsius. Like many troops, Lieutenant Herbert Jalland of the Dillon Light Infantry ran onto Gold Beach wearing pajamas underneath his battle dress in order to prevent chafing from the backpack. And number 10, General Montgomery helped mastermind D-Day, the largest invasion the world had ever seen. His diary entry for the day read, invaded Normandy, left Portsmouth, 10:30. That's pretty detailed, right? That's what you put in his diary. Invaded Normandy. So on the 70th anniversary, which is tomorrow, June 6th, 70 years ago, That's pretty amazing. It's just, on June 6, 1944, more than 160,000 Allied troops landed along a 50-mile stretch of heavily fortified French coastline to fight Nazi Germany on the beaches of Normandy, France. General Dwight D. Eisenhower called the operation a crusade in which we will accept nothing less than full victory. More than 5,000 ships and 13,000 aircraft supported the D-Day invasion, and by the day's end, the Allies gained a foothold in continental Europe. The cost in lives on D-Day was high. More than 9,000 Allied soldiers were killed or wounded, but their sacrifice allowed more than 100,000 soldiers to begin a slow, hard slog across Europe to defeat Adolf Hitler's crack troops. And an interesting thing about Patton, with his fake army, I don't know if many of you guys are familiar with that story. Hitler figured that the U.S. would use General Patton for the attack, and they stationed him, Patton, I'm trying to think of the, I'll tell you real quick. Well, he had a balloon army is what he had. They had thousands of tanks and trucks, but they were fake. They were balloons, Patton. Balloon. Google it's your friend, right? Patton's Ghost Army is what they're calling it. So, I don't know if many of you are familiar with that or not, but we'll quick tell you about it. General Patton, fielded for the 1944 Normandy D-Day invasion, was like any other. The army that he fielded was a complete and unabashed fake. From a distance, an English farmer could see that sometime overnight, a column of Sherman tanks had parked on his field. One of those bulls also noticed that American tanks were there, and he was eyeing one of them warily. Suddenly, the bull lunged. The farmer braced himself for the sight of one of his prized bovines cracking its skull against armor plating. The bull struck the tank at top speed with his lazy hiss of air. The Sherman deflated into a pile of olive drab rubber sheeting. So there were, how many were there? Thousands of makeshift, non-existent ghost troops and tanks and other pieces of military non-equipment were there to fool the Nazis into preparing for a battle that was going to take place down the beach when really they were planning to hit the Normandy coast on the beaches of Utah and other points surrounding. So if you happen to see a vet, which there aren't a whole lot of World War II vets out there now, but if you happen to see a vet, just make sure you thank them because it's I can't even imagine what they went through there when they were landing on the beach of Normandy, or if they were, some of the ones that paratrooped in ahead of that raid and came from the back. Similar to that, of course, a lot of people probably seen the, or heard of the show The Band of Brothers, and that was, for all intents and purposes, based on a true story with Easy Company, jumping in, getting lost, and looking their way back toward the beach and taking out the different outposts, and it was a good thing to watch, good thing for folks to learn. It's more than just some special on HBO. There's a lot more to it. 70, that's unbelievable, 70 years. So you figure if a guy was, 18 years old, 70 years, that's 90, that's 98, wow, 7 years ago, thousands of men preparing to take part in Operation that marked the start of the World War II. D-Day landing, unbelievable. It is just on. I'll tell you what, I'm not much for watching TV, to be honest. But here last week, it might have been last week. The History Channel ran a three-day special called World War, where they you know, they spent one day talking about Stalin and Hitler and Patton and Churchill and Helen, you know, the things that they had learned during the First World War, and it took them through, you know, their growing up and their transitioning into the things that they did when World War II started. June 6, 1944, Allied invasion, the largest seaboard invasion in history. The invasion's code name was Operation Overlord. The V stands for day, D-Day, and the H hour stands for the secret time day and operation is scheduled to begin. The code name for the five beaches where the Allies landed: Utah, Omaha, Gold, Juneau, and Sword, which Utah and Omaha being the two more famous of the five. Timeline, August 19, 1942. A raid on the French port of Dieppe, May 1943, August 1943, November, December 43, June 5th, between 11 and 3, between 11 p.m. and 3 a.m., 13,000 Allied paratroopers and gliders carrying heavy equipment leave England to begin the invasion of France by air. And then June 6, 1944, overnight, the military armada of 156,000 troops crossed the English Channel. Line sweepers go ahead to clear the waters in preparation for the more than 2,300 landing craft that will be carrying men, vehicles, and supplies. Between midnight and 8, Allied forces of more than 11,000 aircraft fly 14,000 sorties. Troops begin coming ashore on a 60-mile front 30 in the morning. Just amazing. Absolutely. And I guess unequivocally amazing. Let me tell you about our friendly local pilot in command and GOP spokesman, Duke Brooks, the Duke of Brooks, as I call him. Duke calls himself a paleocon, and rightfully so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers, so what would you expect? There's no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard with Al Gore's picture on it, but you can get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hanger flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. And so we'll just telling you a little bit about D-Day, just a little bit of timeline stuff, because it's important. It's important that Americans know what their history is, even if it happened on a foreign continent. If you want to call in, you're more than welcome. 718-305-7176. Again, 718-305-7176. So we'll tell you some more about D-Day. And I would encourage you to get online and just Google D-Day and look at some of the pictures from the different landing crafts and the men coming out of the crafts onto the beaches. And, I mean, it's just overcoming such odds. It was really it's kind of awe-inspiring, even though something like that would probably – well, look, not probably. Something like that's never going to happen again. There's never going to be a war of that magnitude where there's so many troops on the ground at the start of things. Just not going to happen. The Greatest Generation. Until the very last minute, the place of the invasion, Normandy, was the most heavily guarded secret on the planet. Even the units conducting the initial assault didn't know the locations of their landings. Surprise was crucial, since Germany had 55 divisions in France and the Allies could transport no more than 8 divisions on D-Day morning. It's estimated that nearly 2 million soldiers, sailors, and airmen were involved in Operation Overlord, including U.S., British, Canadians who were scheduled to fight after men on the ground secured the Normandy bridgehead. 195,000 naval personnel manned 6,900 naval vessels, including 1,200 warships and 15 hospital ships. About 17 million maps supported Operation Overlord. Training maps used fake names. The United States shipped 7 million tons of supplies. That translates to 14 billion pounds of material. Their supplies, ammunition, accounted for 448,000 tons. And still, some of them ran out. Air support operations, often overlooked in the success of D-Day, sustained significant losses. Between the 1st of April and the 5th of June, the Allies flew 14,000 missions, losing 12,000 airmen or 2,000 aircraft. 127 more planes were lost on D-Day. By the end of the Normandy campaign, 28,000 airmen were dead. Instead of 2 days, it took Germany's 2nd Waffen's SS Division 2 weeks to reach the front. Allied Admiral Eisenhower spies and French resistance contacts all contributed to the result. To that result, there are 9,386 graves in the American cemetery at Cotton-Rouge-Sumer. Each grave faces west toward America. 1,557 names are listed in the Garden of the Missing for those who were never found. 4,668 British dead are buried at the Bayeux Cemetery. 21,500 Germans are buried at La Combe. Had it not been for the discovery of penicillin and further research testing, the death tolls would have been greater. 5 years before he died, General Eisenhower came back to Cotton-Rouge-Sumer. It was the first and only time he made the journey after the war. Looking over at Long Beach, he spoke this from the heart. These men came here, British and our allies, the Americans, to storm these beaches for one purpose only, not to gain anything for ourselves, not to fulfill any ambitions that America had for conquest, but to just preserve freedom. Many thousands of men have died for such ideals as these. But these young boys cut off in their prime. I devoutly hope that we will never again have to see such scenes as these. I think and hope to pray that humanity will have learned we must find some way to gain an eternal peace for this world. Yeah, well, that's fitting words make you tear up. Wow. Yeah, that's about to choke you up right there. So if you want to call in, you're more than welcome. 718-305-7176. 718-305-7176. You're more than welcome to call the Liberty and Constitution community here on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. And we'll put you right through because we've got all our lines are open. Got all the lines fixed up and all the lines are open. How about it? Wow. Just looking over the, I mean, it's unbelievable. The weather, I mean, watching the weather, cross-channel attack. I mean, it's incredible. And I would encourage you to do so. To sit down and read some of the history of that one battle, Operation Overlord. It's impressive. All the planning it's enough to make you marvel. Really, is what it is. So I came across this piece. Oh, you know what I didn't do? I didn't play my 8:15 spot. I was running my mouth. I'm gonna play that right now.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict. the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
Molon LeBay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeBay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat, and apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable, but how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back to the Liberty and Constitution community here on conservativenationmedia.com. I am your host, Matthew Opolsky. Phone lines are open, 718-305-7176. Again, 718-305-7176. You're welcome to call in if you're interested in talking about anything that we're talking about or anything that I'm talking about. Or if you're not interested in anything that I'm talking about and you got something on your mind, hey, we'll listen to you. Come on in. You know, there's no harm in changing the subject if it's somewhat interesting. So real quick, like I say, you know, we're kind of running down some of the light details of what happened on D-Day, attacking Normandy with the 60-mile invasion of the French coast, which gave our troops a foothold into mainland Europe, I suppose you would call it, after they had already taken Sicily off the coast of Italy, or off the boot. So what we can do is, we've got Omaha Beach, Utah Beach, which are probably the two that you're probably more familiar with. Utah Beach on D-Day had its own series of problems, as did Omaha. And there was a lot of deception. It was very complicated. You know, the Canadian landing at Juneau, and the Brits landing at Gold, and then you had Sword Beach. But again, you know, the two that we really focus on when we talk about Normandy would be Omaha and Utah, and that's where the Americans sustained the majority of their casualties. So after the 8:30 break, we're going to talk about. We're gonna throw the NRA under the bus because that's easy to do. We say make it easy. Real quick, I want to tell you about Patriot Depot. And let's assume that if you are listening to conservativenationmedia.com, you're a conservative. You love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in the case of the leftist government drop the ball and leave the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline for those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution where America always wins.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on the very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Kate Pearson from the B-52s for Red. Getting drunk is your own business, but when you drive drunk, you make it everybody's business. Don't drink and drive. Be responsible, plan ahead, and choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Liberty and Constitution community here on conservativenationmedia.com. I am your host, Matthew Pelosi. Phone lines are open, 718-305-7176, and 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. So what were we going to get into? I'm sitting here surfing around, and I saw the most beautiful-looking motorcycle. It reminds me of the fact that I was looking to pick myself up a motorcycle for the summer, and I just didn't pass on it. I hesitated, and before I knew it, the opportunity to pick up that one that I was looking at was gone. What are you going to do, right? So, I'm thinking here, but I was... like kind of my mind's all over the place. So I was looking at this piece. I thought we were going to throw the NRA into the bus, and we will, deservedly so, although they've already backpedaled. Here's an opinion piece I was reading in the New York Times, and it's a little dated. It's from May 26th, but I mean, it's called "What Did the Framers Really Mean?" And I got to be honest with you, I started to read it. I had to put it down. I couldn't get through it. It was frustrating. I want to read a little bit of it so you can kind of get a taste of what's going on out there. It's by a guy named Joe Nocera. 3 days after the publication of Michael Waldman's new book, The Second Amendment, a biography, Elliot Roger, 22, went on a killing spree, stabbing 30 people and then shooting another 8, killing 4 of them, including himself. This was only the latest mass shooting in recent memory going back to Columbine. What was it? Why are we going back to Columbine? I mean, there were more before that. Why go back to Columbine? Oh, because it's meant to tug at your heartstrings. That's all it's meant to tug at your heartstrings. Because Columbine was horrible, don't you know? Man, it was just terrible. Again, phone lines are open 718-305-7176. So it continues in his rigorous, scholarly, but accessible book. Waldman notes such horrific events, but he doesn't dwell on them. He is after something else. He wants to understand how it came to be that the Second Amendment, long assumed to mean one thing, has come to mean something entirely different. To put it another way, why are we, as a society, willing to put up with mass shootings as the price we must pay for the right to carry a gun? The Second Amendment begins with a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. And that's where Waldman, the president of the Brennan Center for Justice at the New York University Law School, begins. He has gone back to the framers' original argument and made two essential discoveries, one surprisingly and the other not surprising at all. The surprising discovery is that all of the amendments to compromise the Bill of Rights, there's only 10, you know, all of the amendments to compromise the Bill of Rights, the second was probably the least debated. What we know is that the founders were deeply opposed to a standing army, which they viewed at first as the first step towards tyranny. Instead, their assumption was that the male citizenry would all belong to local militias. As Waldman writes, they were not allowed to have a musket. They were required to, more than a right. Being armed was a duty. Thus, the unsurprising discovery, virtually every reference to the right of the people to keep and bear arms, the second part of the Second Amendment, was in reference to military defense. Waldman notes the House debate over the Second Amendment in the summer of 1789, 12 congressmen joined the debate. None mentioned the private right to bear arms for self-defense, hunting, or for any purpose other than joining the militia. In time, of course, the militia idea died out, replaced by the professionalized armed service. Most gun regulation took place at the state and city level. The judiciary mostly stayed out of the way. In 1939, the Supreme Court upheld the nation's first national gun law, the National Firearms Act, which the NRA helped to write, which put onerous limits on sawed-off shotguns and machine guns, precisely because those guns had no reasonable relation to a well-regulated militia. But then, in 1977, there was a coup at the National Rifle Association, which was taken over by Second Amendment fundamentalists. Over the course of the next 30 years, they set out to do nothing less than change the meaning of the Second Amendment. So its final phrase, shall not be infringed, referred to an individual right to keep and bear arms rather than a collective right for the common defense. Waldman is scornful of such an effort. Time and again, he finds the proponents of the new view taking the founder's words completely out of context, sometimes laughably so. They embrace Thomas Jefferson because he once wrote to George Washington, one loves to possess arms. In fact, says Waldman, Jefferson was referring to some old letter he needed so he could issue a rebuttal in case he got attacked for a decision he made to Secretary of State. Still, as Waldman knows, the effort was wildly successful. In 1972, the Republican platform favored gun control. By 1980, the Republican platform opposed registration. That year, the NRA gave its first ever presidential endorsement to Ronald Reagan. The critical modern event, however, was the Supreme Court's 2008 Heller decision, which tossed aside 2 centuries of settled law, and ruled that a gun control law in Washington, D.C. was unconstitutional under the Second Amendment. The author of the majority opinion was Antonin Scalia, who fancied himself a leading originalist of the court, meaning he believes, as Waldman puts it, that the only legitimate way to interpret the Constitution is to ask what the framers and their generation intended in 1789. Waldman is pervasive and a truly original. I can't. It's too much. I feel like I have a throw up getting ready to come up out of my stomach when I try to get through that. It's crazy. So I guess I'm gonna. Yeah, I won't even continue to try because it's horrible. You may or may not have heard of Open Carry Texas, or Texas Open Carry, whatever you want to call it. But there's a large group, and we have a similar group here in Delaware called Delaware Open Carry. Although they're not political at all. They don't really open carry at rallies and events. And they don't really lobby at Leg Hall. They basically do nothing. But that's a whole other issue. But so there's a group called Texas Open Carry, and they recently had an event, or I guess some of the folks had some events where they open carried rifles, because in Texas you can't open carry a handgun, and the NRA slammed them on it, and then pro-gun control or pro-Second Amendment folks slammed the NRA, and the NRA backtracked and repealed the statement and said it was written by a staffer and, you know, whatever, which, and you want to believe that, I got a bridge I'll sell you. So let me tell you about conservativenationmedia.com, and we start off the work week every Monday in a big way. It's inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennessee are spreading out all over America. And Dave Vance brings his veterans insight and the most informative guests inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure to check them out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee airs Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. And the NRA had this to say. Gun rights advocates who recently stormed Texas businesses wielding assault rifles in a brazen show of support for the state's open carry laws have crossed the line from enthusiasm to downright foolishness. The National Rifle Association's lobbying arm said Friday in a statement. The upshot of a reality check is that intimidation measures aren't likely to harbor as much support for gun rights causes or for pro-firearm candidates come November's midterm election. Last month, pro-gun rights demonstrators patronized Sonic and Chili's restaurants while shooting AK-47 and other semi-automatic, prompting the establishment to request their customers to conceal their weapons while inside. Saturday, pro-Second Amendment advocates rallied with their long guns in Home Depot parking lot. Texas law permits unlicensed rifles, though not handguns, to be carried openly in public. Unlicensed rifles. A licensed rifle? What part of shall not be infringed does that come from? So the NRA, in its statement, lauded the Lone Star State for being second to none in robust gun culture. Our house organization added that it's a rare sight to see someone sided up next to you in line for lunch with a 7.62 rifle slung across his chest, much less the whole gaggle of his folks sitting on the same public venue with similar arms. To ostentatiously brandish a semi-automatic weapon in a public place is not only rare, the group continued, it's downright weird and certainly not a practical way to go normally about your business while being prepared to defend yourself. Those who are not acquainted with the dubious practice of using public displays of firearms as a means to draw attention to oneself or one's cause can be downright scary. Statement said, it makes folks who might normally be perfectly open-minded about firearms feel uncomfortable, question the motives of pro-gun advocates. Should the attention-hungry few gun owners continue their campaign tactic of instilling fear to promote their beliefs, consequences should be lasting consequences. The NRA cautioned such a turning an undecided voter into an anti-gun voter because of that, causing that fear or us or offense, we owe it to each other to act as checks on our behavior, and our legal system steps in and does for us. And with that, we'll be back in just a sec.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it.
Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
What? Why? Just wait for the inheritance. We've definitely got a rich uncle somewhere. We're one call away from the winner's circle at the Derby, dinners with multiple forks, a vacation home in the country, using summer as a verb.
You don't actually think that, do you?
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs, the Delaware Society of CPAs, and the Ad Council.
Hello, I am Robert Garding of the New Wise Conservatism radio show, heard on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, through conservativenationmedia.com. Being on the air since 2007 from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, we've helped people become more informed to keep socialists out of the White House and Congress. But that work isn't over yet. Tune in Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on CNN for the New Wise Conservatism radio show, the voice of reason in our unreasonable world.
Welcome back to the Liberty and Constitution community here on conservativenationmedia.com. I am your host, Matthew Opelisky. Phone lines are open, 718-305-7176. Again, 718-305-7176. And we were talking about the open carry event down in Texas, where the NRA... basically chastised an open carry group for being downright weird for exercising their rights. And a few days later, they issued a presser, and they sent out a video, and they said the NRA changes its mind on open carry. And following a backlash from its supporters, the National Rifle Association has retracted its statement regarding open carry groups in Texas. NRA recently made headlines for its response to a carry event in Texas, and the organization placed a statement regarding several topics, including open carry, on the NRA ILA website. But in a statement, they suggested the activists who participate in the events have poor judgment. The NRA immediately received criticism for its statement, and gun rights advocacy groups like Open Carry Texas took to Facebook to bash the NRA, calling the comments disgusting and disrespectful. Now it appears as though the NRA has started to backtrack. Top lobbyist for the NRA appeared on the Camden Company news program and apologized for the statements, and he said that our job is not to criticize behavior of fellow gun owners, and our job is to effectuate policy changes, blah, 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 blah. Basically, here's the NRA in a nutshell, and some of you, you know, pro-NRA folks are probably not going to like this, but, well, that's the way the cookie crumbles. I think the NRA is akin to big pharmaceutical. I might have told you this before. If I have, well, you're going to hear it again. If you haven't, well, you're going to learn something. Big pharmaceutical is in business for one purpose. And, you know, that could be Pfizer, that could be GlaxoSmithKline, that could be any company that's out there. That's the same reason why I produce coins and shirts and decals to make money. Okay, yeah, I support the Second Amendment, and I am very pro-gun, and I would like to spread that message, and that's great. And I'm also interested in making a profit. Because there was no profit to be made I sure wouldn't lose money doing it. So you have the big pharmaceutical companies, and again, you know, pick whichever one you want. They're not in business to cure you of your medical ailments. They're in business to make profit. That's what they're in business for. They're in business to make money. So they're not interested in curing you of your whatever it is that you have. They're interested in selling you a drug for the rest of your life, because there's profit in selling you a drug. There's no profit in curing your ailment. And much like Big Pharma, and look, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. You know, they're entitled to their profit. So, you know, I believe in capitalism wholeheartedly. If you've got an ailment, they got a pill for it. If you're dumb enough to take the pill, well, then there you go. But the NRA, much like Big Pharma, they're not interested in your gun rights. They're not interested in promoting or winning the gun battle. They're interested in keeping the fight going, because there's a profit in keeping the fight going. There is a profit in selling you T-shirts and hats and memberships and so on and so forth. There's a profit in having you come out to the Friends of the NRA dinner. There's a profit in you buying Friends of the NRA firearms and hats and shirts and decals and, again, memberships. And if you go to the NRA online store, there's all kinds of things you can get, you know, with the NRA logo on it. But believe it, they're not interested in solving or winning the gun control fight. They're interested in keeping it going, because there is a profit in keeping the fight going, whereas there is zero profit in winning the fight. And that's just how it is. They advocate for, we should be able to have concealed carry licenses. Well, okay, I don't know where I'm not sure where in the Second Amendment says anything about concealed carry. By having to have a license, by having to have a permit, by having to beg for permission from your government and spend money and jump through hoops, that's not included. So there's a huge difference between being pro-gun and pro-Second Amendment. You can be one and not the other. And the NRA, while they may be pro-gun, they sure as hell are not pro-Second Amendment. If they were, they'd be issuing statements telling everybody to just carry. Just carry, because there's no law that says you can't. Again, we've been over the Supremacy Clause, Article 6, Paragraph 2, Second Amendment. Last couple words, shall not be infringed. This isn't rocket science. We've been over this, and we've been over it, and we've been over it ad nauseum. And I'll go over it, and I'll go over it, and I'll go over it again. The NRA, they're not pro-Second Amendment. There's nothing in the Second Amendment that talks about getting a carry permit. There's nothing in the Second Amendment that talks about sporting plays. This is the National Rifle Association that chastise groups in Texas for carrying rifles. Okay? National Rifle Association throws people who carry a rifle under the bus. Oh, but they're pro-gun, don't you know? Oh. Yeah, I forgot all about they were pro-gun, don't you know? I don't know, I'm just not, yeah, I'm a cynic, that's all. You know, I've been a cynic and always be a cynic. So, yeah, it is what it is, right? So, are we gonna shift gears and maybe look at, we'll probably look at some local stuff here in the next, after the top of the hour. Got this case that I've been sitting in on each day, and I want to tell you a little bit about that. And what else? I think what else is going on? Oh, I'm trying to think. I can't even really remember. I'm sitting here in the dark in my own kitchen, trying to think about what I was. I tell you what, you guys, we got a pretty decent sized group coming shooting this Sunday at a friend's house over in Georgetown, and I had just recently picked up a Chris CRB, a Chris Vector, and I really can't wait to get that dirt ground lane. Chris Vector CRB. Oh, yeah, baby. That's going to be some nice 45 ACP downrange. And I also bought a Ruger Alaskan. You ever heard of that? It's a Super Red Hawk. It's a Ruger Super Red Hawk. And it's got a 2.5-inch barrel. It's chambered in 454 Casull. Monster. It's like a bear gun, right? So, like a bear gun. So, what are some of the other news pieces that are going on that we could maybe touch on before we go to the news? Let's see here. What's going on here locally? Our legislature just came back into session Tuesday. They've got a bill that was submitted that will decriminalize marijuana. I know that a lot of liberty-minded folks are all for stuff like that, legalizing pot, decriminalizing certain amounts. I wasn't really a fan of the medicinal marijuana bill. I'm not really a fan of this bill. I think it's a lot of double standards involved. It would decriminalize quantities up to 1 ounce. You couldn't smoke it in public. You got to be 21, and if you were to found to have it, it would be like a $100 fine. So it would be a civil offense. But, you know, the question remains, okay, so you're allowed to have it. Where do you buy it? Well, it's still illegal to sell it. It's still illegal to buy it, but it's just going to be legal to have possession of it. It just seems stupid. I mean, it's a gateway to total legalization. So why not just, instead of doing this stupid baby step, be having some arbitrary stopgaps in there about age, that would be 21. Well, if you're an adult of 18, then why can't you have it at 18? You got to be 21. Well, if you're going to decriminalize it and it's not going to be a criminal offense to have an ounce, then why can't you have it in public? You know, why can't you smoke it in public? So they're making it's dumb. And, of course, it's modeled after some other stupid state who did something stupid similar. And, you know, it's all about generating revenue, I'm sure, you know, when it comes right down to it, because, you know, you'll get caught with it, you'll be fined, you'll possibly have more DUI convictions reserves in your system longer than alcohol would be, they draw your blood, you know, then you're looking at having more more revenue generated to that regard. We're still facing a budget deficit at the state level, and there's a, well, I'm trying to remember what else just recently got submitted. If I had already told you and spoke to that, I might have. There's a Senate bill to ban plastic, or what they call non-detectable firearms. And again, it's a joke in and of itself as well. But we'll touch on that kind of stuff after the news.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCSforAutomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
It is with great pleasure that I welcome you to today's graduation ceremony. Students, when you hear the reason or reasons for your absences throughout the years, please exit the auditorium without your high school diploma. Once you've exited, remove your cap and gown and proceed into the unknown. Too tired. Family trip. Part-time job. Helping around the house. Sick day. Starting the holidays early. Just because.
Starting in the sixth grade, students who miss 18 days or more of school in a year for any reason will fall behind and risk not graduating high school. How many days of school has your child missed this year? Absences add up. Keep track at boostattendance.org today. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Folks, welcome back to the Liberty and Constitution community here on conservativenationmedia.com. I am your host, Matthew Polsky. Phone lines are open 718-305-305, 718-305-7176, again, 718-305-7176. So what I'm going to talk about this hour would be, again, something local. I've been spending the last couple of days, Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I guess it's 5 days. There's a court case here locally where there's a former GOP Senate candidate who won a primary against the incumbent and then was charged with over 100 counts indictment on sexual abuse charges of a child. Somebody came forward after he won the primary, a gentleman that lived in Florida, who was, I guess, 35 years old at the time, who was a convicted felon, who claimed that the candidate who just won the primary, who happened to be a friend of mine, his name is Eric Bodenweiser, he alleges, this person alleges that Eric had molested him back in 1987, 88, 89. When he was, I guess, 8, 9, and 10, or 9, 10, and 11, I guess, as it were. And so Eric ended up, he was under indictment, under arrest. He dropped out of the race. So he never, and he was a shoo-in. He would have won the general election. So he ended up not winning, withdrew from the race. Was arrested, released on $250,000 secured bail. Good for him, he's well off. He was able to get out. He was under house arrest for the longest time with an ankle bracelet. And then he was let out, as long as he stayed away from children and whatnot. And he's been waiting for his day in court. And they recently, offered him a plea deal. And he rejected the plea deal. He maintains that he's innocent. And the trial started on Friday with opening statements from the prosecution and the defense and the prosecution's witnesses and so on and so forth. And like I said, I've been going in the morning to see, just to hear the testimony from this gentleman from Florida. And I got to tell you, he's just not a believable witness. I don't know whether whether Eric did it or didn't do it, but if I'm on the jury, I'm going to be looking at acquittal because they're expecting it to be about a 2-week case, maybe 3, but just in the first few days, there's just tons and tons and tons of inconsistencies in the Dumas story. He testified, this is the accuser, who's now 37 years old. He testified on Monday for the prosecution, and he gave an account of four separate occasions where there was an alleged abuse. Two of them were oral in nature, and two of them were supposedly a little bit more in depth. And he gave his accounts to the prosecutors at the Attorney General's office. And, I mean, as I'm sitting there in the back of the courtroom, and I made this comment to several people who felt the same way, I didn't know what it, to me, the testimony was the Attorney General's office was telling the story, and the witness was agreeing to it. It was not him telling the story of what happened. It was they were asking questions, and he agreed. He agreed to the things that they were saying, and, you know, added some detail here and there, but it was far different than him telling the story. Then, under cross-examination, there was a lot of contention between the defense attorney, Joe Hurley, and the witness on the stand who was the accuser. And there was just inconsistencies. And so he was under cross-examination on Monday. And I'm trying to think, he was. Well, let me back up. Before he took the stand, they put on the stand a female state trooper who answered the phone when this guy called. They put on the stand a radio personality, a friend of mine, who took a call on the air, and the guy told his story. They put a friend of his on the stand, who alleged or who testified to the fact that this guy told him or told her what had happened to him back in the ninth grade. And that's kind of critical because on Monday you had an individual testify as to what happened in, I guess it would be, well, 15, 17 years ago maybe. And then so this friend of the accuser testified that in the ninth grade they became aware of what had happened, but never said anything. And then yesterday they played audio of an interview that the accuser gave to the Delaware State Police back in 2012, where he said that he hadn't told a single person about it. And then when they asked if he told this other woman about it, who the police obviously had already talked to, he said that, yeah, he told her, but it had been recently after he went public. So that's a conflict where, you know, you have a witness for the prosecution saying, yeah, he told me in the ninth grade, and then you have the actual person who says he was molested saying, no, I didn't tell her, I just told her recently within the last 2 years. So, I mean, you know, if I'm on the jury, I'm saying, well, that doesn't jive. The accounts that the alleged accuser gave on the stand live in court did not match the taped statement that he made 2 years ago to state police detectives that was recorded, that was played in the court yesterday. And then after the accuser was put on the stand and was cross-examined, there was much conflict between him and the defense attorney, so much so that they had to go to recess and court was adjourned for the day. And then he came back the next day and there was more conflict and they had to adjourn. And then today I was down there and there was no testimony given at all today. The accuser wouldn't take the stand and he ended up having to go to the emergency room. I believe he faked some kind of nonsense in order to get taken to the emergency room so he wouldn't have to go on the stand. So, I mean, it's just, I can't imagine how they're going to be able to get a conviction in this case, but, it is what it is. The guy's still, the Senate, the former Senate candidate, a friend of mine, Eric Lobenweiser, still is accused of the crime. So, I mean, even if he was to be acquitted now, for the last 2 years, he's been, that guy who, is basically everybody thinks of as the molester. So, that's what it is. But, let me tell you folks, that conservativenationmedia.com, and that we're growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher a very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineers' insight and love of America to American Way of Design Sunday evening, 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, on conservativenationmedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week, since we're making some big changes, and we're just getting started. American Way of Design with Bing Fisher, Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, and thank you for your service.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs. I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Alrighty, guys, welcome back to the Liberty and Constitution community here on ConservativeNationMedia.com. I'm your host, Matthew Opolowski. Phone lines are open, 718-305-7176. If you're out there listening, feel free to call in. I won't bite. I'm just sitting here doing the break, surfing the web for some high-capacity Glock 21 / Chris Vector Mag. Well, these things are hard to come by. I can order them straight from Chris, but they're like $66 a piece. I don't know if I'll feel like doing that. I wouldn't mind paying around $50. I don't know about doing it for $60, $66. I mean, that's a little bit ridiculous. Found a guy who's looking to sell a couple, but we just, for some reason, we can't get together, again, for whatever reason. So anyway, I was telling you about this case here locally, and I've been going down there every day, and I'm going to go back tomorrow. And while, I tell you, there's just so much to this case, it's not even, I guess because you were, if you were local, you probably would understand it, but I guess it's not doing much justice for me to tell you about it, because you just don't know all the ins and outs. I mean, there's just so many different local idiosyncrasies about it. Oh, anyway, White House faces growing fury in Congress over the prisoner exchange for a good old Bo the traitor. Man, I'm telling you. Congress kept in the dark on the Benghazi swamp, Saxby Chandler would have raised holy hell on the Bo Bernardi. The White House apologizes for failing to lawfully notify Congress. That just makes me sick. Makes me sick, don't you know? What are you going to do, right? What are you going to do? Just going to take a quick peruse. I'm going to take a quick peruse over to the Drudge. Oh, Senator Michelle. Michelle Obama, running for Senate. Well, that's nice. First Lady could be positioning herself for a run at Mark Kirk's seat in 2016. Wouldn't that be something? Put that stupid bitch in office. It wasn't that long ago that such a slogan would be absurd, but political wags are now beginning to wonder whether Michelle Obama is more in run for Illinois Senator Mark Kirk's seat. Thursday column suggests that Obama would be the only candidate with a large enough profile to unseat the Republican. It's not the first time Obama has been mentioned as a potential senatorial candidate, but that speculation is always focused beyond 2016. First Lady herself has never publicly indicated any interest. Good grief. Whatever. Whatever. We'll leave that one alone. We'll leave it alone. Senator Mutchell. U.S. soccer coach says we cannot win the World Cup. Whatever. Bo Bergadler. I don't even know how you say his name. Bo Bergadler. Converted to Islam, declared jihad. Taliban says we're inspired to kidnap more. Buchanan says someone in hell bin Laden is smiling. Hagel faces House grilling on the legality of the Taliban swap. Moves to clear Gitmo gathering pace. White House says no apologies. Impeachment if he does it again. What is that? I mean, Graham warns of Republican impeachment push over Gitmo. Get out of here. Wait, who are you kidding? What a sack of wet noodles that dude is. Senator Lindsey Graham warned Wednesday that Republican lawmakers would call for President Obama's impeachment if he released more prisoners from Gitmo without congressional approval. So a senator is going to call for impeachment, which he can't do. That would, which, cheeseheads. Read on the notification. What difference does it make? The Pentagon, China military capability grows amid tension. Man in a gorilla suit shot with tranquilizer darts at the zoo. California bill, no sex on college campuses without verbal or written consent. Pardon me, folks. Cheerleading squad suspended over adult diaper hazing ritual. Oh, good grief. Onlooker steal groceries from woman killed in car crash. Well, that sounds like America. Oh, human stem cells successfully transplanted into pigs. Hillary's ghostwriter once fronted a band as Dr. Rockingham. Shock poll. Obama less competent than Bush. Oh, man, I'm going to need a poll to tell me that, although I'm no big Bush fan. The Economist, inequality reaching spectacular height. Just as I'm reading headlines from Drudge, it's insane. Here's what Drudge has to say, right? Supreme Court. Let's see what the Supreme Court's doing in the news. Supreme Court refuses to block Oregon gay marriage. Florida Supreme Court disbars former Broward judge. Michael Gardner's molestation conviction overturned by Virginia Supreme Court. Oh, look at this. This is a shame. You know, I don't know if you guys follow the story here in Delaware. I mean, it made national news, so you might have heard about it. There was a judge here in Delaware named Jan Jordan, and she became, I guess, infamous here recently for a ruling or for a sentence that was handed out back in 2008 to a DuPont heir who admitted to molesting his own children. Of course, DuPonts have money. So instead of him getting convicted and sentenced to jail, he was convicted and sentenced to therapy. And that judge that sentenced him to therapy is now up for an appointment to the state Supreme Court. And that's just disgusting. The state panel that recommends candidates for Governor Jack Markell to consider to fill the Supreme Court has offered four names, including the judge at the center of controversial sentencing of a DuPont heir, Robert Richards, in the rape of his daughter. Of the seven lawyers who applied to drew the seat to be vacated by Supreme Court Justice Jack Jacobs on July 4th, the Judicial Nominating Commission narrowed down the Delaware Superior Court Judge Jan Jordan, President Judge James Vaughn, Karen Vallejera, a corporate lawyer, and partners Kate North, Scale, Megan Forum, and Lawrence Hammerhash, a professor of corporate business law at Widener-Stahl. Jordan, who's a Democrat, was considered frontrunner for the next opening Supreme Court, blah, 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 blah. Karen Vallejera. James Vaughn. Are you kidding me? I mean, James Vaughn. Because he's a son. I mean, these are all tools. They're all oath-breaking tools. None of them will hold their office. None of them will uphold the oath that they swore. And so it is what it is, right? They don't uphold their oath. And that's the way it goes. That's the way the world these days, right? Hard to say what all is going on in this day and age in this world. It's crazy stuff. Oh, there's another piece of interesting news. Christine O'Donnell, you guys all remember that name, right? Christine O'Donnell. She put out an email yesterday. It was an advertisement for a column that she's writing. I don't know where she's writing her columns. I wouldn't read anything she says to write, but she put out an email talking about the 2014 Senate race here in Delaware. That was like the title of it. And you know, she went on down through the email talking about how good candidates get pushed aside, and she's not going to be pushed aside. You know, so she wanted to make an announcement about what she's going to be doing, and she basically, the thing read almost as if it was an official announcement that she was running. So one of our upstate news agencies, WDEL, they read the email partially, and they put out a big old news piece that she has declared she's running. Well, about an hour later, they had to retract it because they didn't bother to read all the way to the end where it said she's not running. So, the whole thing is just kind of silly. But Christine O'Donnell, the I'm Not a Witch candidate, you guys remember that, right? Yeah, of course you do. Yeah, of course you do. I'm not a witch. So she says. So let me tell you guys, what else is going on? You guys want to talk about D-Day some more? What do you want to talk about? You want to talk about guns? You want to talk about Constitution? I finished up my class that I was doing, and now I'm involved in another class over in Caroline County. And we're going to have to do a big shoot this weekend. Of course, Saturday I have the Caroline County Patriot Museum and then the Caroline County Constitution class that I'm doing. And Sunday we're going out to a shootout in Georgetown with the Suffolk County Sheriff's Support Posse. And a lot of the Caroline County guys are going to come over to that. So, like I said, I plan on having a big old shindig. And then there's a new group. There's kind of an upstart group here locally, the Delaware 3% group. And they're having a gathering on Sunday afternoon. So I may end up jumping from one gathering on Sunday early afternoon to mid-afternoon, then jumping to the other one. And luckily, they're only about 10 miles away. So one of them starts at 2 and the other one starts at 5. Yeah, we've been having some, the sun has been staying in the sky around here until at least 8 o'clock. So I should be able to maybe make both of them just at least to show up and say hi, if nothing else. But let me tell you guys real quick about LifeLock. One of the worst nightmares that can befall America today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service. 24/7, 365. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. Your identity with LifeLock. And to get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com. Click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be glad you did.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with the hoop earrings?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out. Look out.
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
I'm making beef sliders for my friend Sammy. Nana taught me to always pull meat off the grill early, so it's extra juicy.
Use a food thermometer to ensure ground beef is 160 degrees, or you could make people really sick. Sandy didn't think twice about the slider she ate until yoga class, when a nasty case of food poisoning turned her downward-facing dog into upward-moving lunch. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov and learn the steps Maria unwittingly leaves out. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Dave Vance, inviting you to join me every Monday night for Inside Tennessee on conservativenationmedia.com. Even if you're not from the volunteer state, you'll want to know what's happening because one day it will affect you. Every week you'll hear interviews with experts, legislators, and citizens who are fed up and making a stand. So join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time for Inside Tennessee on conservativenationmedia.com.
conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. I am your host, Matthew Obolsky. Phone lines, as always, are open, 718-305-7176, We've got about 28 minutes left in the show, roughly, give or take. Of course, there's a couple couple commercials in there, so we're going to minus any of that. Did you guys know that Michelle Obama lectured Democrat donors on the separation powers? Pretty cool. Pretty clear. Here's her quote. A day before the White House apologized to the Senate Intelligence Committee for not alerting Congress before trading 5 high-level terrorists for a captured American soldier, First Lady Michelle Obama lectured donors about the separation of powers. Here we go. Too often, we forget what we learned in civics class back in middle school about how we have a separation of powers between 3 branches of government, she said on Monday at a Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee fundraiser in Boston. The First Lady claimed that whenever people ask her why her husband cannot just pass health care or get immigration reform done or hasn't just fixed the infrastructure yet, she tells them, you all know who has the final say on all that, don't you? Who? Congress. You guys remember civics, it's Congress. She may have to remind her husband, a former constitutional lecturer, about that. That's an interesting piece. So, then you got Harry Reid scolding Congress for being Monday morning quarterbacks I don't know how to say his name, the Bergali or whatever. I can't say his name. So I'm not even going to bother. I'm not going to bother with saying his name because I can't say it. I don't know what the hell it is. Yeah, here's an open letter to America by Birgit von Spondorf. I don't know who that is, but I'll read it to you anyway. Dear America, first let me tell you how much I love you and how much I could not imagine the world without you and your participation in it. Despite the past 6 years, up until this relatively short, a very detrimental time period, events have always been relatively stable. The world could always count on you to be the voice of strength and reason when certain other countries behave like shameless thieves, thugs, and spoiled children. But lately, Europe, this continent that usually is led by self-serving politicians, hard at work propping up unsustainable social service programs, liberally shared with its newest immigrant groups, has started yelling and screaming at senior American officials. They have been sounding the alarm that America is moving only too rapidly down the wrong path. Europe knows what it's talking about. Based on centuries of war, dictators, and destabilized social upheaval, Americans in modern times have absolutely no idea what it is like to lose entire generations and see their major cities in this trouble. But for many of us born and raised in America, our grandparents and grandparents of European heritage do. Here in America, these people who many hold so dear are like the holy grail of the truth. In this muddled mess of an era, because they know the story, they are a testament to the real history, not to the version being dispensed in school and depressed like hash-flavored bull BS in these past few years. And now we learn that this is paper trail proof that the Veterans Administration is working hand-in-hand with the Obama-Hillary healthcare model to make sure that the last generation with hands-on information, the backbone, and opposing views distinguish as soon as humanly possible. Earlier generation of Europeans and immigrants in America actually know about things like this firsthand because they have seen it before. They know currently that the Jews are being forced to register in the Ukraine, having seen this data before. They are justifiably concerned. The caveat is that this time is unlike the last time. We have a leader that isn't one of them. America now rescues deserters and invites parents who speak Urdu and look like captors of the White House lawn for a photo op. America releases high-level threat terrorists from Gitmo as a guinea. America plays favorites and abandons real warriors stuck in Mexican prisons on bull malarkey allegations. The Obama administration only serves the pot to remove the VA scandal from the headlines with the prisoner exchange. No wonder many of Europe's leaders are worried. They have a good reason. The best friend for more than a century, America, the nation they all need, and the theme of love to hate seems to have lost its mind, its body, and ownership of the kind of essential fortitude that made America what it is today, and now is in jeopardy. That's from Bridget von Stangloff. Not who she is, but that was an interesting read. Bridget von Stangloff. Chris Ann Hall has a new book out, if you're interested. It's called In Defense of Liberty. It's actually, you can get it on the e-book. You just go to chrisannhall.com, K-R-I-S-A-N-N-E-H-A-L-L.com, chrisannhall.com. She's a constitutional attorney that she knows what she's doing. She knows what she's talking about. She's not one to be trifled with. What else is going on here in the, I can tell you, what else can I tell you about? Let's see what's on my mind here in the last week. Things have been running through my mind. Well, one of our state legislators here in Delaware, John Atkins, who was a Republican, then he turned Democrat when he got into some trouble. He was a Republican. He was elected in 2002 as a freshman legislator, and he got into a little bit of trouble a few years into his tenure, and he was in Ocean City, Maryland, and he got pulled over for drunk driving. He got pulled over, and it turns out he was drinking and driving, but he flashed his Delaware legislative ID badge, and they let him go. They allowed him, this is the Ocean City Police Department, they allowed him to make a phone call, and somebody came and picked him up. And at the time, it was the chairman of the Sussex County Republican Committee, a guy named Dave Burris. He went down and picked him up and drove him over the Maryland line into Delaware, where he got back behind the wheel and went to Smitty McGee's, had a couple more drinks, then drove home. He got into a fight with his old lady. They argued in front of the babysitter, who was the daughter of the vice chair of the party, and the police were called, and he tried to cover it all up. He ended up resigning from office, and they had a special election. And he ran as a write-in. He didn't win. And then when that term was up, he had switched parties and ran as a Democrat. And now he's been back in office for about 6 years. So all in all, he's been in there for 12 years, which, I would say a total of about 10 years for him. He was in for like four and a little bit. And then he resigned for a period. And then at the next general election, he ran and won. And he's won, three consecutive elections. And now, last night, the news broke that his wife has filed a PSA against him, a protection from abuse order. And Millsboro police went to his house and removed 17 firearms because he's now the subject of a ex parte protection from abuse order, which, the courts here in Delaware, they give, any woman that goes to the court and makes up some garbage gobbledygook, can get a PFA on her husband or her boyfriend. And then on June the 13th, he'll have his day in court to prove, whether it's warranted or not. But apparently she moved out of the house in April. And they have two sons, so she moved out, and she didn't take the kids with her. And this is all stuff that was in the newspaper. And he was, he kept two boys with him, and then she filed the PFA on behalf of herself and the kids. And now the kids were taken out of the house along with the gun. It's just a big old mess. And the last time he was up for election, he won, but it was only by about 68 or 69 votes. So it was very tight. So I'm telling you, the guy who's already announced that he's running, Rich Collins, which would have been a rematch, he's probably tickled to death to hear that, John's out of misfortune. But even if they were to pick up that seat, the Republicans, that's still, that's 20, right now the seats in the House are 27-14, so that would make it 26-15. So, it's a pickup, but it's like, so what? And then I question whether or not Rich Collins would even honor his oath anyway. He talks a good game and he sounds great, but I got to tell you, I don't really trust any of them because, none of them are going to stand up for their oath for the Constitution. They don't have the balls. None of them have the backbone to just stand firm. They talk a good game, but once they're elected, you know, they get up there and they get under the wing of leadership, and that's how it goes. I mean, I tell you how many people I've talked to, like, there's one Representative Spiegelman. He used to send out emails on gun stuff, and I replied to him, and he stopped replying to me because I told him, I'm like, why don't you just honor your oath of office? And he's like, oh, well, I'm just wondering what is this gun bill? What's the effects of this? It's illegal. It doesn't matter. Stop arguing why it's a bad bill. Just call it what it is. Illegal. It's gun control. Fight it from the head on. Don't try to attack it from the side. The Delaware legislature has no authority whatsoever to enact any gun laws. That's all you need. You don't need to attack it from the side. Hit the son of a bitch head on. Grow a set of balls. And, of course, you tell them stuff like that, and they don't, you know, that's too straightforward, man. They can't handle that. They just can't handle it. Nope. Can't help it. Don't know what to do. Stop talking to me. We'll be back in a few.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Wow, yeah, since the storm, it's been crazy busy for us. We got all kinds of office desks coming in. Now, here's a fancy one right here. It's missing a leg, but that's all right. Whatever. Washers and dryers from a laundromat. Oh, wow, and check this out. Another deep fryer. And I'm not sure what this doohickey is. Yeah, most businesses weren't ready for a storm like that, you know. But our work's really piling up here at Roberts & Son Salvage.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing.
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You've got to try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.